Committee will come to order. Ms. Pilcher, please call the roll.
Chair Schoaf, Vice Chair Plasencia.
Here.
Ranking Member Benjamin.
Present.
Representatives Anderson.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Caruso.
Here.
Chambliss.
Here.
Cross.
Here.
Daniels excused. Franklin excused. Garcia.
Here.
Griffiths.
Here.
Maggard. Porras.
Here.
Rudman.
Here.
A quorum is present, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. Welcome back, everyone. Today we will be hearing a presentation from the Department of Education, the implementation status of several new programs funded last year. Kevin O'Farrell, Chancellor of the Division of Career and Adult Education, and Suzanne Pridgen, Deputy Commissioner of Finance and Operations, you are recognized.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you so much, committee members, for being here, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to provide you an update on some great and exciting funding programs that we have across the state here in Florida. My name is Kevin O'Farrell. I'm the Chancellor for Career and Adult Education. I'm going to be providing an update on the first half of our presentation, and then our Deputy Commissioner, Suzanne Pridgen, for Finance and Operation, will give us an update on the second half as well. So today, we're going to provide you an update on where we're at with our Adult General Education Performance Funding, as well as an update on the PCOG, the Pathways to Career Opportunity Grant, specifically in the Grow Your Own Teacher Apprenticeship Program. We're also going to give you a little bit of information about the Teacher Apprenticeship Program and also the Teacher Mentorship Program that accompanies that. And then Suzanne's going to come up and share a little bit about the Dual Enrollment Educator Scholarship Program and then also the Open Door Scholarship Program as well. So let's go ahead and get started with the Adult General Education Performance Incentive Program. This is a new funding program. In fact, it's the first time we've had in the state of Florida a great funding, a performance funding program for adult education. Thanks to your efforts and the governor, we have $5 million appropriated for this. Eligible agencies to receive the performance funding are school districts and Florida College System institutions that have adult education programs. And these funds will be used on expanding the integrated education and training programs, also for equipment, instructional personnel, and related student support services. Just to give you a little bit of an idea about IETs specifically, too, I want you to know about that because this is really designed to help expand what we're doing in the IET space. IETs are where students who are enrolled in either adult general education or language acquisition can simultaneously be enrolled in a program that leads to a credential of value. And so, therefore, students are really kind of getting a head jump. Not only are they learning those language acquisition skills, but they're also progressing in their adult education studies, and they're earning that credential of value that eventually can give them gainful employment. And so with that, we're looking forward to developing those new measures. In fact, those measures are outlined in proviso language. And currently, we're working within the department with PARA. PARA is our our pre-K through 20 education research and accountability office that helps us with the programming of our measures. And so what we're doing right now is taking those and programming them. The first measure is going to be the number of adults that are participating in adult basic education or in language acquisition who are then earning that non-degree credential. The other measure is the number of adults who are in our high school equivalency programs or participating in adult education high school or adult education programs who then go on to a Florida College System institution and they enter into a program and complete that within 150% of calendar time. Now, while these new measures are being programmed, these are new to the department, so we've been working on those. But we hope to have those and the allocations by the end of December so that we can have the first three quarters of the payment will be issued to the eligible entities December, January, and then the final quarter will be in April as well. The Teacher Apprenticeship Program is really an exciting, game-changing opportunity here in the state of Florida. House Bill 1035, which established the Teacher Apprenticeship Program, really created a new pathway now for individuals who want to enter into the teaching profession. And so for individuals to be eligible to participate in this, they have to meet several criteria, which is outlined. Number one, they have to have an associate's degree from an accredited post-secondary institution, a cumulative GPA of 3.0. They must have successfully passed a background screening. And they have to have a temporary apprenticeship certificate that's issued by the Florida Department of Education. Now, with this, school districts will serve as the employers within the apprenticeship model. The Division of Public Schools is the sponsor, and they will partner with local educational agencies to provide the related technical instruction. And so that really kind of is the apprenticeship model here. And what happens is when the teacher is in the teacher apprenticeship program, they will be paired with a teacher mentor. And this will provide the on-the-job training, which is an essential component of an apprenticeship model. This will be a two-year program where they will receive that instruction, related technical instruction, as well as on-the-job training, and be paired with that teacher mentor. And that teacher mentor will really provide them the guidance and direction that they need when they're in the classroom in the clinical setting. Now, the goal at the end of that two-year program is for the individual to have the baccalaureate degree conferred upon them and also to be eligible to have the professional educator certificate in 2 years. So this really becomes a great game-changing opportunity, and I can let you know that at our last State Board of Education meeting in October, the State Board of Education adopted the rules necessary for the implementation of this particular program. Now, with that, there are two appropriations that have accompanied the teacher apprenticeship program. The first is $4 million for the teacher mentor bonus program, and the other is the $5 million for the Pathways to Career Opportunity Grant, or PCOG, for the Grow Your Own Teacher program. Now, in order for a teacher mentor to be selected, there's specific criteria that they have to meet as well. Number one, they have to have 7 years of teaching experience in Florida. And they also have to have an aggregate score of highly effective on the three most recent available value-added model scores that are used by the department. Or if they don't have the VAM score, they can use a highly effective rating on their three most recent performance evaluations. And they'll also go through a clinical training experience, too, to serve as a teacher mentor. And they'll be eligible up to $2,000 per mentor. The first 50% of that will be under the completion of the first year of the teacher mentor's experience. And then once the teacher apprentice completes the program, they'll be eligible for the second installment as well. Alongside the teacher mentorship program for the $4 million is the $5 million Grow Your Own Teacher Apprenticeship Program that we have. And so this is a great opportunity for institutions, LEAs, that are participating in related technical instruction to apply for funds to help them with the development of the RTI. And what makes the teacher apprenticeship model so unique and different is that it really is a no-cost option for students who are entering into the teaching profession. Because apprentices by statute cannot be assigned or assessed tuition and fees. And so what we have are teacher apprentices who are paraprofessionals currently working within the school system who are now enrolled in the teacher apprenticeship program, paired with that teacher mentor, going through the related technical instruction to complete their education degree within 2 years. So eligible institutions to apply for the PCOG Grow Your Own include our Florida College System institutions, SUS institutions, and ICUF institutions, those institutions that have education baccalaureate programs and also have approved teacher preparation programs as well. So currently, with the status of this particular program, the release of the PCOG funds are imminent. We're hoping that within next week, we're in the final stages of evaluations. We have been working very closely with the Division of Public Schools in assessing the concept pitches that have come in for this. You can see that we received 20 concept pitches related to this particular grant, of which 18 qualified. Of those 18, it was a total summative request of $11.8 million. Now, we have $5 million, so obviously not all of those will be funded, but we do have a great opportunity to fund some really exciting programs. And this includes, within those 18 concept pitches, there were 9 Florida College System institutions, 5 SUS institutions, and 4 ICUF institutions. And we received proposals from almost every single region across the state. So this is really going to be a fantastic opportunity for a new and creative way for how we think about preparing teachers to teach in the classroom with a teacher apprenticeship program. So with that, Mr. Chair, with your permission, I'm going to turn it over to our deputy commissioner. Yes, sir?
Yes, I had a question first.
Sure.
And I apologize for missing the first part and welcoming you here. Sure. It's always good to have both of you. I wanted to see if you could give us the numbers on the expenditures for the two programs that you've implemented this year.
The adult education program, we don't have any expenditures yet on those because we're programming the allocations as we speak. So once those allocations are assigned, then they'll be distributed to the districts. So we're in the process of doing that. And the same for the Grow Your Own. We're about to release those particular concept pitches that have been selected for the $5 million.
OK. Okay, are you anticipating being able to start to roll those funds out?
Yes, we are. Yes. In fact, just yesterday we received from PARA the initial data request that we have. So we're in the process of programming that so that we'll have the adult education funds necessary. And then for PCOG, we anticipate that rollout hopefully this next week. We're in the last stages of evaluating those concept pitches.
Thank you, Kevin. Please proceed. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I wanted to know, since we haven't done any rollout in monies, do we have any participation numbers or any anticipation of participation?
We'll get to that after the presentation. Very good question, though.
Yes. All right. Excellent. Well, at this point, we're going to move on to our dual enrollment educator scholarship program. So, Deputy Commissioner Suzanne Pridgen.
Thank you. I'll try to be as excitable as Chancellor is up here. So, I'm still situated. Okay. I'm going to provide you an update on two programs, the Dual Enrollment Educator Scholarship Program and the Open Door Grant Program. So during the 2023 legislative session, House Bill 1035 was passed to create the Dual Enrollment Educator Scholarship Program, of which funding was appropriated at $3.5 million. This program will assist teachers of grades 9 through 12th in public schools to obtain a graduate degree and credentials necessary to provide dual enrollment coursework directly to students on the campuses of those schools. The program will provide awards recipients the full cost of tuition and fees required to complete the graduate program, including a book stipend. This program requires applicants to be a certified teacher in grades 9 through 12 in a public school in Florida, be accepted in or currently enrolled in an approved graduate program within a subject area within his or her area of certification. They agree to complete the graduate degree program and additional required credentials within 3 academic years of the initial award, remain in his or her district or an eligible district identified by the department as a certified classroom teacher for 3 years after completion of the degree, at least 3 years, and teaching at least 1 general education core course per semester. Also, they would have to repay the amount of the scholarship to the department on a schedule determined by the department for recipients who do not adhere to the established requirements. So for the Open Door Grant Program, this was also initially created in 2021. And this was the purpose of supporting student completion of a short-term, high-demand credit and non-credit career and technical education programs at career centers and at Florida College System institutions. Over the 21-22 fiscal years, Florida colleges received an annual appropriation of $20 million, while district technical centers received an annual appropriation of $15 million. For the 23-24 fiscal year, the Open Door Grant Program was converted to a student financial aid program to provide needed assistance to incentivize current and future workers to enroll in CTE programs that lead to a credential, certificate, or degree at a state college or technical center. As in the prior two years, $35 million was appropriated for the program, with $20 million being appropriated for students enrolled at the colleges and $15 at the technical centers. Again, this kind of reiterates some of the items I've already said, but we released a request for application, and eligible institutions applied to request those funds. During this fiscal year, 21-22, the program, and this was at the beginning, was federally funded from GEAR funds, which is, I like to say, is COVID funding. You know, so that brings everybody into knowing what GEAR funds are. The Open Door Grant Program includes 2 ways for students to receive funds, either the last dollar approach, which is for students who receive state or federal financial aid, and Open Door funds can cover their remaining balance. The second approach is called student investment, which is an opportunity for students who do not receive financial aid. The student investment is required by the student to pay 1/3 of the cost of their program, and the Open Door funds could cover the remaining 2/3. So for the 21-22 fiscal year, A total of 703 last dollar awards were given, and 79 student investment grants were awarded to eligible students. Excuse me. In the 2022 fiscal year, the program continued. However, the program was changed to state funding. After approving applications, the department issued all of the eligible recipients an advance quarterly payment. Subsequent payments were released once the institution showed they had dispersed their previously received funds to eligible students. There were a few changes made to the open door statute during the 22 legislative session. And you can see those changes there on the slide as well. You'll see on this chart the overview of open door awards given to the students during the 22 fiscal year. We saw a dramatic increase in the students who received the funds compared to the prior year. The department is in the process of receiving final reports from six of our school district recipients. However, to date, of the 38 who have sent in a final report, it was reported that almost 5,000 students received open door funds. 3,593 last dollar awards and 1,314 student investment awards. I'm gonna take a sip of water real quick, please. During the 23-24 legislative session, Senate Bill 240 was passed to convert the grant to a student financial assistance program. This was to provide needed assistance to incentivize current and future students to enroll in these technical programs. Enrolled students seeking to utilize Open Door grant funding must be enrolled in an integrated education and training program that results in the awarding of credentials or enrolled in a workforce education program that's included on the master credentials list. Participating institutions this year will receive an annual allocation that consisted of a base amount of $50,000 plus each institution's proportionate share of full-time equivalent students enrolled in career and technical programs. At the conclusion of this fiscal year, institutions that participated in the Open Door grant funding will continue to report end-of-the-year data based on completion and credential attainment by students participating in the grant program. The required information is the list of programs offered at the institution, the number of students who enrolled in their programs, the number of students who completed the programs, and the number of students who attained the credentials and categorize the way that we've asked them to do as well. So this year, so far, we have received, the post-secondary institutions have received program allocations totaling $17.5 million. And as of last month, three out of the 28 college system institutions and two of the 48 technical centers have reported disbursement information totaling approximately $860,000. And so our institutions are continuing to locate qualified students and process enrollment and disbursement data throughout the fall term. And that concludes the presentation.
Thank you, Deputy Commissioner. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I know how awfully busy both of you are. Your workload is through the roof, and it takes time for you to come here and do these presentations. So thank you very much. At this time, members, I want to open it up for questions, if you have any. Yes, sir, ranking member.
Yes, same question from the last time. So these numbers are what we anticipate, or are these numbers that we've already given out?
These are the numbers that have been reported by the institutions currently this year. So they've received allocations, yes, sir.
So we can see what it's been like since we've lifted those impediments that we previously had?
Yes, sir. Due to, this is the financial aid part of the program, yes, sir, this year.
Any other?
And then, sorry.
No, you're good.
And in your, estimate, how are we doing from our goals? How far off are we from our goals?
I still think we have a ways to go. I do think as the program picks up, and a lot of this, a lot of these are new programs, and it takes a little bit to get off the, you know, floor and get everybody knowledgeable and get it out there that these programs have started. So we look forward to a better second half for sure for most of these programs.
Absolutely.
And are we relying on the institutions to kind of market that these funds are available and these programs are available for the students, or are we doing anything as an agency to let Floridians know that these things exist?
So we do rely on the institutions a lot to I'm sorry.
Oh, you're, no, please. Okay.
We do rely on them a lot to market and publicize the programs, but we also attend many of institutions, any kind of student gatherings that we can also promote all of these programs as well. We, at every opportunity, we try to get the word out.
Thank you for that. Representative Cross.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I have a couple questions.
Absolutely, you're
Thank
recognized.
You. The first question is related to the apprenticeship program. The bonuses for the mentor teachers, can you talk about how much those bonuses are and kind of how those bonuses are paid out?
Sure. Great question. they will be $2,000 per apprentice. And so those will be, again, the eligible apprentices that receive the teaching certificate, right, will be paired with those teacher mentors. The teacher mentors will receive that. So, again, kind of in the apprenticeship model, one thing to keep in mind is there are, like, three components, right? So there's the sponsor, which the Division of Public Schools serves in that capacity. There is the employer, which in this case would be the individual school districts. And you can have multiple employers participating in an apprenticeship program, and in this case they are. And then you have the RTI, the Related Technical Instruction. So each of the employers are responsible for providing in apprentice language a journey worker. So that will be the teacher mentor. So the teacher mentor that meets the criteria will then be paired with the teacher apprentice. So they can have a one-to-one ratio with that. And then those particular teacher apprentices will be in the classrooms because they're already paraprofessionals within the school district. They'll be paired with them. The teacher mentor receives $1,000 each year, 50%, $2,000 for the entire experience, the two-year on-the-job training experience that they have the teacher apprenticeship program. And then when they're complete with that program, they'll have the conferring of the baccalaureate degree, which is provided by the related technical instruction, the baccalaureate institutions that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you for that. And going on to the House Bill 1035, and a question, this didn't go through our higher education subcommittees originally. So I was wondering what the reason for limiting this to teachers in grades 9 through 12. Is that because those are the grade levels where it's hardest to attract and retain teachers?
I needed to clarify, is that for the mentor bonus program?
It's for the Dual Enrollment Educator Scholarship Program.
Okay. You're recognized.
Thank you. So, and I'll pull the chancellor up here with me as well. He's staying way back. So that is where most of the dual enrollment courses are taught. And that was what the focus of that was. So, and they're already teaching at the schools that dual enrollment would be taught at as well.
You recognize, Representative.
Okay, I guess I'm not clear. So the teachers they're not going to another institution to get a graduate teaching degree or
they're... Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Okay.
They are.
So why is it limited to teachers in grades 9 through 12?
This is you're referring to the dual enrollment?
The dual enrollment.
Because they are already teaching. I mean, they would be already teaching at the institution that they would be at. So it was created to try to get them so that they are ready to teach the dual enrollment classes. So they would have another opportunity to do this.
Let me add a little bit on here. It's a scholarship that allows current teachers to become dual enrollment teachers.
Okay. I'll have to look a little more into that program.
We can connect.
Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Anything else, Representative Cross? Good. Representative Maggard, you're recognized.
I'm going to pick PCOG just because. So the grant program to help me, acronyms, we've got to do something. Mm-hmm. So help me, so make sure I understand this on the grant. We passed the budget in the summer.
Representative, can you use your microphone?
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
We passed the budget in the summer, right? Mm-hmm. So this program, I'm just going to pick this one, nothing else. So I'll make sure I understand. And you look out, you get people to submit the project through September, what it says, I guess, maybe a little later, give or take. Mm-hmm. We have yet to roll the money out, but we're rolling out soon. Mm-hmm. So they'll probably get the money December, January, maybe. And then they need to spend it by next January?
By
next June, I mean?
Yes, June 30th.
Okay, so they basically get 6 months to spend this. What happens if they don't? I'm sorry, I shouldn't want to.
Nope, you're good. You guys go ahead.
Mr. Chair. So in that case, a couple of different things can happen. There's always the opportunity to extend the award for the grant. Another is they may not have certain deliverables that they're able to deliver on, and so they would not have the funds fully towards that. But I think most of our applicants for the concept pitches, they're ready to roll on this and get this implemented very quickly. The majority of these funds, you know, this is kind of a startup program for the Grow Your Own. So we understand there's going to take additional time in here because we had rules that the Division of Public Schools had to establish for the teacher apprenticeship program. Also, we had to have the teacher apprenticeship program registered with the state, the SAA, as well as the U.S. Department of Labor, which they worked on that over the summer in order to implement that. So that particular phase has been accomplished, the second phase being rolling out for the rules. Now we have the grant, the awarding the grant, and the concept pitches that are coming in. They're ready to get started on this, and we'll have implementation by June 30th.
Well, absolutely. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So we're in a startup year. I just happened to pick PCOG, I guess. So next June, if we fund the money, then it will probably be quicker because everything's already set up, and they have a fuller time to get this money spent in their program.
Correct. Absolutely.
That's good. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
All right. Representative Caruso.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the Chancellor. You spoke about the Adult General Education Performance Funding and the IET programs. With regards to those that end up with a credential, where the individual ends up with a credential, could you describe some of those programs?
Sure. We actually have about 426 of those programs right now currently across the state for IET programs, the majority of those being in the health sciences. So you really have an opportunity for a home health aide, a CNA. And so this provides them the opportunity then to earn their high school equivalency or progress in their English acquisition, then earn that CNA designation and have that employment within the workplace.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Representative Chambliss.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Wanted to go back to the teacher mentorship programs, which we're all very excited about, or at least very excited about hearing the results. Want to go back to a question of anticipated participation. Do we have any numbers as far as how many teachers have inquired and are going to be participating in the program?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
Good question. Right now, like I said, we just actually finished the rule development on that. And so we're in the process right now of now working with the employers, the school districts, to really begin to design the operations and the mechanics of how that's going to roll at the local level. I can tell you anecdotally from the fact that we had a working group assembled of school districts and Florida College System institutions that really kind of represented the entire state as we developed the standard, that there is a broad desire for this. In fact, many school districts are ready to jump into this program because, as you know, teaching is an in-demand occupation right now, and there's a great need. So we do anticipate there being a great opportunity for teacher mentors and teacher apprentices to really maximize this new no-cost pathway.
All right. I had a question. Chancellor, can you clarify how much has been spent so far on the mentor bonus program and the dual enrollment scholarship?
Sure. For the mentor program, there have been zero allocations that have, nothing's been spent out of it yet because it's in development right now. So there would be no funds that have been expended out of the teacher mentorship. The dual enrollment scholarship, Commissioner?
Same. It is a startup program. We are working to get the word out. So we expect a better half of the year.
It's my understanding that well, let me ask it another way. Do you anticipate requesting these programs to be funded again at the same level or a higher level?
We do. Well, I can speak for a few of those. Yes, we do. However, we are, and it's this year's early session, and you know, usually you have a little bit more time to see how the funding, how it will go. We would like additional funding because we do believe that these programs are good. We believe they are well worth it. It is taking a little bit to get moving on them and to get everybody knowledgeable and that their programs are even out there. So we do look forward to having additional expenditures. And also, oftentimes the first year is a lower year than the future years. So we would like everybody's support.
Understood. Members, do you have any other questions? All right. Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you, everybody.
Well, members, I appreciate you all coming out today. Those of you in the audience, same to you. Always appreciate it when the good folks at DOE come over and let us know what's going on over there. It seems that the theme today was we have a lot of good programs, and we've got quite a few that haven't got off the ground yet. I really am excited about the potential of these programs and look forward to seeing them fully implemented. I would like to add a request, and for you and your agency, if you could please take a good look at what we can do to help you between now and session this year to get some of these programs moving faster. We would love to see these funds put to good work, and I know you want to as well, but we want to know if there's something that we can help you with, whether it's more positions, legislative support, you name it. But I would love for you to come back between now and session and let us know some things that this committee can work with you on to help you get these programs rolling. With that being said, this concludes our committee agenda today. Is there any further business before the committee? All right, seeing none, Representative Benjamin moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.